When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. The 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. The undrafted free agent signings are coming in. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are speaking at the podium now to sort of wrap things up, so to speak. Wanted to come on today once things were settled, once we knew what day three looked like. We are going to go through all of the picks. Again, I do not pretend to be an expert in this stuff. I can tell you what people smarter than me have said. We can go through the picks. I'll try to answer any questions you have, read your comments, see what other people around the football world are saying about the 49ers picks, and we can get into it. I mentioned the undrafted free agents are coming in. As Benjamin Bear points out, YouTube channel member Tariq Owens is one of those undrafted free agents, son of Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens. He worked out at the 49ers local pro day the other day. He is among the Niners undrafted free agents. I don't have a fancy graphic for those because they're still coming in, but it's something the 49ers have done extremely well at in the Shanahan Lynch era. So hopefully we get some good names. I'm seeing Michigan center Drake Nugent is signing with the 49ers. So there's another one. Apparently he was a Stanford product who transferred to Michigan to play for Harbaugh. First team, all Big Ten. Only 6'1", so definitely on the small side, but he's 300 pounds. So, you know, interesting player. Look, all these guys are going to have awards at some point, but nonetheless, come on down as the undrafted free agency class has already started. All right. Let's dive right into it. If you were with me and Steph Sanchez last night, thank you, first of all. Second of all, we were kind of reassured once they went offensive line on day two. We were like, okay, we exhaled for a little bit. And it was kind of curious to see where they would go on day three. First up, they decided to address the secondary again. And they picked Malik Mustafa, safety out of Wake Forest. I can tell you just from watching the few clips I saw, this dude is a rocket, is a tackling fiend. I love the way I saw him tackle in some of the highlights. Players go backwards is the exact quote from Dane Brugler. Gotta love that. He has experience as a hybrid safety, kind of playing all over the place. And this is one of the coolest stats ever. He didn't commit a single penalty in college. That's incredible. All those years in college, you don't commit a single penalty. Sign me up for that. God knows the 49ers could use a little more of that in their secondary. I'll say that. Some of the negatives, he tore his ACL in 2021, and that actually lingered into the 2022 season. He's undersized for the position, and not surprisingly, because of that, or at least in part, he can be swallowed up by the blockers. But I think what you're seeing with this pick, first of all, I think you're seeing the influence of Brandon Staley, which is something that Steph Sanchez and I talked about last night. There's a lot of sort of hybrid players on this defense. They like to sort of be able to have the flexibility to do a bunch of different things. And so I think the 49ers needed to reflect that in their players. They needed players with versatility. Like I said, he has experience playing that hybrid role. He's a passionate competitor, good against the run, which, you know, like all those pin and pull plays we saw against the 49ers, I think they realized they need to get better in that area. So that, I think, was part of it as well. And look, safety was a need, right? Hufanga is going to be a free agent next year. He's coming off a torn ACL. Tashawn Gibson is unsigned right now. He doesn't know if he's going to play. Jair Brown looks good, but after that, it was sort of what? So you needed a body there. So Malik Mustafa, come on down. I know a lot of people were very happy with this pick on Twitter. Not that that means anything, again, but I like that the 49ers went safety. I agree that it was a position of need for them, and I like the way that they addressed it. Just reading more of Dane Brugler's draft guide. He doesn't have the tape of an instinctive ball hawk, but he's a compassionate competitor with outstanding range versus the run and disciplined movements and coverage. With a skill set similar to Jordan Whitehead, he should shine on special teams coverage in the NFL and will push for defensive snaps early in his career. I personally tend to think that you might see more contributions early on from this draft class than other Shanahan Lynch draft classes. They are older. A lot of the guys are 24 or are going to be 24 in their rookie year. I think they're going to make some contribution early. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, total redshirt year. I don't think we're going to see that. Most of their major impact, I think, will come in 2025, but I still think they're going to get something out of the class in 2024. It's not going to be like, well, we got a bunch of nothing. So that's definitely encouraging. I like this comment from Merrily Murphy. Lynch and Kyle are either brilliant or crazy. Yeah, you know what? It's a fine line between those two things, Merrily. So I definitely like that. King Crimson on X says, this was a very calculated, safe pick class. No over-eager, maybe with the running back, but it smelled cautious. I think you could argue that the 49ers maybe were looking for higher floor guys rather than the highest ceiling guys. I think you kind of saw that in their free agency class as well. I think they tried to go for proven consistency over necessarily like potential ceiling. I think that they realized that they're trying to fill holes. They need contributions from people. They can't have whiffs anymore. This is your last ride, right? This is your last run with Ayuk and Debo and Kittle and all those guys. The people that you get to fill in around them need to be solid contributors. And that's what I think they were going for in this year before they sort of transition over to 2025, which could look a lot different. I'm seeing some people say, Jedi says we signed Branson Mays, the undrafted free agents. Keep them coming if you see them in the chat. I'll try and keep an eye on things as they come in, but it's kind of hard to host and keep an eye on Twitter at the same time. John Lynch said Malik Mustafa's adaptable role at Wake Forest was called the Panther position. He's built like an Adonis. Again, they want that hybrid guy. That's something that's very, very attractive to them. And I think that they liked flexibility. Even with some of the other picks, like their Dominic Pooney, who they picked yesterday, had experience at all the offensive line spots. So they liked guys that have versatility. The more you can do, right? Pardon me as I take a drink here. Okay, so that was Malik Mustafa. Next up was a player that a lot of people had pegged to the 49ers. I think Tony Pauline had made a note of the 49ers' interest in him before the draft, and that's running back Isaac Garendo out of Louisville. There's a lot to like. He ran the fastest 40-yard dash of any running back at the combine, 4.33. And, oh, by the way, he is not small. Like, you see a 40 time that fast, and you might think he's small. He's 6 feet 221. So he's fast and he is not small, and that is always a good combination. He has experience running the zone scheme, And despite his speed, he still has patience between the tackles, which is encouraging, right? He's not just the guy that just tries to get the ball and go as fast as he can immediately. He shows patience. He knows when to turn it on. So you got to love that. Negatives, unfortunately, he's battled some injuries in college. He doesn't always make the best decision-making, according to Dane Brugler, and he has average balance between the tackles. So, again, all these guys are going to have positives and negatives. Can Kyle Shanahan accentuate the positives and let them do what they do best is the key. Brugler says Garendo doesn't have an impressive body of work, but his build, explosiveness, and ability on passing downs, blocking, and receiving suggest his NFL resume will far outshine what he did in college if he can stay healthy. Along with competing on special teams, he's projected best in a one-cut outside zone scheme. Hello, that will give him runaways to show off his speed. Pass blocking appears to be a positive with him, which, you know, with young running backs, have to be able to pass block. It's something that most of them can't do, and it delays them getting on the field. Apparently, Isaac Garendo is good in that area, so hopefully he can contribute a little more early. I know the 49ers still have J.P. Mason, who everybody loves, and I do too. I'm wondering about Elijah Mitchell, to be honest with you. I wonder what the future of Elijah Mitchell is for this team. He's been a good player, but he's really battled injuries. I wonder if the 49ers are like, we can't depend on you. We can't have you on the team. And so we'll see. It'll be an interesting competition, I think, in training camp. You know, and it could come down to simply like, if Elijah Mitchell gets hurt in camp, they may just be like, forget it. Like, we can't wait anymore. We're done. I don't know. What do you, I'm seeing a lot of positivity in the chat for Garendo. A lot of people liked him. What is this comment? Somebody said Garendo is a wide receiver. I don't know about that. Fish and chips is Garendo is really a wide receiver. Could be a bonus. I have no idea what you're talking about there. If he can catch passes, great. I'm all about it. Another guy that's a little bit older. I know a lot of people have made a big thing of that, how the Niners draft class is older. It doesn't bother me. Like, they're 24. It's not like they're 28 coming out of school, right? The average NFL career is 3-4 years. So it's really not going to matter for most of these guys. Who can contribute? Who can contribute early? And it's really all about 2024. Whatever comes after that, we'll figure it out. So that's Isaac Garendo. A lot of people were happy. I know the Niners traded up to get him, which is frustrating for a lot of people, but Fonzie Valencia says it's Malik, not Malik. The Dane Brugler draft guy said Malik. And if I screwed it up, I apologize. You guys know I hate getting names wrong. I hate it. So I'm just going by the draft guide that Brugler put out. If it's Malik, I apologize, but that's the only pronunciation guide I have. And so for now, I'm going to do that. Golden Dragon says Isaac Garendo's official grade is 98. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see him. I'm not going to lie. The Niners went speed for a lot of this draft. They really have guys that can step on the accelerator. And to be honest with you, I thought that was kind of missing a little bit. You know, Ray McLeod could run a little bit. Danny Gray could run, but he can never play. So he's never in the damn game. So we never get to see it. The Niners went with speed. We'll talk about Jacob Cowing a little bit later. He's a guy that can really step on the accelerator and get away from people. You know, I think the Niners have kind of a smash mouth mentality because of the Yak Bros and all that, but maybe they're kind of transitioning a little bit. Maybe we're going to go for a little more of the kind of Dolphins speed players. It's going to be interesting. I think we saw a lot of emphasis, at least on the offensive side, a lot of players that I think will complement Brock Purdy really well. We'll continue to see how it goes for the 49ers, but that was Isaac Garendo, second pick of the fourth round. Speaking of Jacob Cowing, let's throw him up on the screen. Aren't you all impressed by the fancy graphics that I made? Finally had a chance to make some graphics for guys that actually picked, because the Niners managed to draft everybody I didn't have graphics for earlier in the draft. Jacob Cowing. Love, love, love everything that I am hearing about Jacob Cowing. He's not big, unfortunately, but he is fast. If you're not going to be big, you better be fast. He's only 5'8". He's 2 inches shorter than I am. 168 pounds, but he ran a 4.38. Absolutely fast. As Dane Brugler put it, he plays with a jetpack on his back. Okay, sign me up for that. Great at tracking the ball in the air, and he is a feisty blocker, especially for his size. As Hines says, oh, he's not going to be in the doghouse then. Exactly. You have to block as a receiver in this offense. We know this, and in Cowing, at least, you know, puts the effort in. And that's what I said with Steph Sanchez yesterday, too. you might need to work on your technique as a blocker coming in from college. That's one thing, but it's effort. Like, do you have the effort and the desire to be a blocker? And that's something that you can't really fabricate, right? You can't really fake it. You either have it or you don't. It's not really developed. So I like that the Niners are going at guys that have it, and you can work on technique and tweak those things. That's great. That's what you have coaches for, but it's the mentality. The guy's got to have the mentality. And that was something I think that was very important to the 49ers, regardless of position, even the defensive guys. They want guys that have that mentality. Nick Ellert says, Kyle finally drafted a few guys. If you put them in motion, the defense has to worry about. I do think that's part of it, to be honest with you. I think that Kyle has seen some of the stuff that Mike McDaniel has done in Miami, and he's like, damn, that works really well. If we had some faster guys, we could really hurt teams too. So those are the positives for Cowing. Jetpack on his back, great at tracking the ball in the air, and he's a feisty blocker. The negatives, again, the size. 5'8", 168, that is small. Doesn't mean he can't play. You know, we saw, was it Tank Dell play, and he's not very big, but guess what? He's great. I don't like that Cowing is kind of a body catcher. That generally is not a good thing. I want a guy that catches the ball away from his body with his hands, and he has to clean up his route running at times. That, to me, is not a big deal. Like, I think that that is something that you can get away with in college, particularly if you're that fast. But I think it's something that, to me, that's an effort thing. Like, if you want to work on your routes, stay after practice. Put, you know, it's reps. Just do it over and over and over again. So I think that's something that's fixable. One of the most fixable, like, critiques of a wide receiver. Get better at your route running. Great. Just practice over and over again. Like, it's not like a, you know, he's not going to get any bigger than 5'8". He can't grow, but he can work on his routes. I don't know how you say that. Rogue Ace says, is your YouTube channel the same name as your Twitch channel? The Twitch channel is GSN 49ers, I believe, if you're watching on Twitch. Joey Arredondo says, Pearsall and Cowing evidence that Kyle wants to evolve this offense out of last and pass attempts. It's a good question. I don't know if he wants to evolve it with more pass attempts. I think he wants to have more options when they do pass. I think the drop back passing game for Kyle has been, you know, like the weakest part of the offense for a long time, right? I think that Kyle wants to have guys that can get open against man coverage. And I think with Pearsall and with Cowing, with his speed, these are guys that are going to be able to get away from man coverage. I think that Kyle realized they didn't have enough of those guys. It was basically Brandon Ayuk and what last year? You need more of those guys. The Chiefs locked down the 49ers receivers in the Super Bowl. I think they recognized we can't have this weakness anymore. And so I think that's more what their thinking is. And I think they just like the option to pass, right? They want guys that can get open. If they do have to straight drop back pass, they didn't really give a massive boost to the offensive line. So if they're going to rely on Brock to kind of scramble around a little bit when he's back there, then I think they want guys that can uncover, that can get open in those sort of scramble drills and maybe, you know, potentially see some more off schedule big plays. And when you've got guys that can separate like Cowing and like Pearsall and Ayuk, obviously, you can hopefully get some more of those. So I think that was their thinking. Nick Ellert says Cowart feels like a third down backslash type gadget play guy. Well, I think you can do both, right? I don't think you have to be one or another. It's okay to run gadget plays with guys that are also good on the other downs, right? You can have a guy that does both. You can run a gadget play with, you know, a Justin Jefferson if he's on your team. That's cool too. So you don't have to choose. And hopefully the 49ers don't. Jan says on third down, you have CMC, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, and Pearsall. You don't play Cowing. Maybe you're going to see some more 4 or 5 wide receiver sets from the 49ers. That's another thing too. Like, again, you don't always have to affect a play just because you get the ball. You can affect a play without the ball, right? If everybody knows Cowing has speed, maybe he just runs down the field and opens it up underneath for one of those guys you mentioned. Because the Niners haven't had that. That was supposed to be the point of Danny Gray. And Kyle has always wanted a speed guy in this offense. When he first came, it was Marquise Goodwin. He's tried a bunch of different people whose names are slipping the top of my mind because they were only there basically to run in a straight line. But he has wanted a speed guy. That's why they drafted Danny Gray. It's always supposed to be part of this offense, and they haven't really had it. So hopefully they can have it now. Sorry, I'm just scanning the chat really quick. Modelo Time 1999 on Twitch says, Debo and Kittle injuries that seem to happen yearly. The Niners needed to load up on skill players. I think that's part of it too, right? Especially a wide receiver. If Debo gets hurt and misses games, the Niners wanted to have options. You know, it's a little scary when your next guy up is Juwan Jennings, and then you're looking at Ronnie Bell. Like, you need more there, you know? So I like that they added a wide receiver. I think it was smart. I think they needed to do it. There were wide receiver options in this draft. It was, you know, one of the deeper drafts for wide receivers, which I feel like happens every year. But take advantage of that fact. So I had no problem with Cowing. A lot of people seem to really like him on Twitter. That's, again, does that mean anything? No. But there are a lot of people that do things that spend a lot more time on this than I do. And they were pretty happy about it. And so I do kind of, you know, bow to the experts a little bit, or at least today, right? Again, I'm not looking for reasons to be mad at the picks. I would like to be happy at least for today. One thing with Cowing that I did see, as I'm trying to pull it up on the screen for you here, is I mentioned the speed, but he's really good at acceleration as well. He has the top speed in the first 5 yards of his 40-yard dash of anyone who went to the combine. So that's like immediate acceleration. He got all the way up to 14.96 miles per hour in the first 5 yards of the 40-yard dash. So he goes from 0 to 60 faster than anybody at the combine this year, faster than Xavier Worthy, faster than Adonai Mitchell, whoever you want to pick, Tez Walker. Nope, Jacob Cowing was the fastest. That's got to be encouraging.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So one little nugget that I saw, it doesn't guarantee anything. I get all that, but I like to share these things, reasons to be excited, especially on day three of the draft, right? I mean, come on, what are we talking about there? Fish and Chips says the new kick return rule is there for Cowing and Garando to take. I think that's part of it. I think that is part of it too. You know, the teams, it's uncharted territory with this kickoff rule. They really don't know what it's going to be, how teams are going to defend it, who might be good back there. You know, what makes a good kick returner with the new blocking that's going to be. So you want to have options. They have Debo, obviously, would be an interesting option. I think Ayuk would be an interesting option. J.P. Mason would be interesting. And now you throw in Garando, you throw in Cowing. Yes, options are good. Jam 18, did they announce their undrafted free agents? As I said at the top of the show, they're still coming in. I saw Tariq Owens was one that's going to be an undrafted free agent. I'm still seeing some names trickle in. If anybody sees any, Cody Schrader is a running back out of Missouri. He ran for 14 touchdowns and 1,600 yards last year. He was consensus All-American. He's an undrafted running back that I believe is going to sign for with San Francisco. So I'll keep an eye on it. But if you see anything in the chat, also throw it in there, like I said. Lee Ving says Niners Nation has a UDFA tracker. I can head there right now. Oh, yeah, there it is, right on the front page. Good old Niners Nation. Look at that. Helping us out. Let's see. Tariq Owens. Frank Gore Jr. is not signing with the Niners. He's going to Buffalo, so that's kind of a bummer. I mentioned Corey Schrager already. I mentioned Drake Nugent already. Wisconsin quarterback Tanner Mordecai plans to sign an undrafted free agent contract with the 49ers. So there you go. That's all the update from the undrafted free agent. That's all for right now. I'll keep that page open and refresh it often, and we'll see who else joins the party. Again, the Niners have had a lot of success with undrafted free agents, Emmanuel Mosley, J.P. Mason, just off the top of my head. Two more draft picks, and again, these are later round guys. I'm not going to pretend I know a ton about them, but they did go offensive line again. Jarrett Kingston, wow, offensive lineman out of USC. Positives. He can process things very quickly. He has experience at tackle and guard, and he has good athletic tools. He unfortunately is not very long, and he can struggle against long-armed people, which makes sense, right? You're not very long. The other guy is. That hurts. And he can be undisciplined at times. They needed to go more than one offensive lineman. I'm glad that they did. Jared Kingston is there. I did see a couple of cool things about him that I bookmarked. And, of course, let's see if I could find it. He ran a 5.02 40-yard dash at the combine, which for an offensive lineman is pretty damn fast. And he had 32 bench reps, which was second among offensive line at the combine. So he's got some play strength there. You got to like that. Because of the lack of length, he might be best suited for center, which is not the worst thing in the world. The Niners needed some depth there. But that's usually what that means. So if you don't have long arms, you're not going to be a tackle. But I kind of like a center with that kind of speed, right? You need to be able to move and get to the outside on those zone runs. And it looks like Kingston has the speed to do that. So that's encouraging. I will say this. I felt like they were skipping over a lot of the Niners picks on the draft coverage today. Did anybody else notice that? I felt like every time the 49ers had a pick, they were in a commercial or they were in an interview with Kevin O'Connell from the Vikings. I wanted to see the pick and I wanted to see the video, you know, that comes after. I love all that stuff. Polkai 4 touchdown says Joe Staley has Trek's arms. I miss Joe Staley. I'm just trying to get Joe Staley back on the show for a long time. Answer my text, Joe. Come on. Okay, so that's Jared Kingston for the Niners. And then the final draft pick they made of this class is Tatum Bethune, a linebacker from Florida State. Once he triggers, he apparently is a rocket. And he hits like a much bigger player, which is always very encouraging. He sniffs out screens, which kind of, you know, is what you'd expect from somebody that when he triggers, he flies. His negatives is that he can get handsy in coverage. Handsy is never a thing that you want to be called, right? In pretty much every walk of life. Handsy, not good. He was part of a heavy rotation at Florida State, so he only played like 30, 35 snaps a game. And his aggression can be used against him. You know, you can use it against him, get him out of position and potentially lead to some big plays. But we're talking about a guy that you're taking in the seventh round here, right? Like, yeah, he's probably, you know, you're going to take some flyers. John Lynch said it yesterday, especially with the back end of this draft, which he called not very strong and not very deep. Like, you're throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. He actually used that expression. Maybe this is one of those picks. The Niners needed another linebacker because we know Dre Greenlaw is not going to probably be ready to go right away. So they went with Tatum Bethune. Okay, that's fine. Again, I'm not going to get too upset about it. Hopefully he ends up being a good player. So that's the 49ers draft. Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney, Malik Mustafa, Isaac Arendo, Jacob Cowing, Jarrett Kingston, and Tatum Bethune. Interesting that the Niners skewed on offense. You know, they return all 11 starters from the Super Bowl, yet you look, right? Wide receiver, offensive line, running back, wide receiver, offensive line. What do they take? Three defensive players out of all their picks. Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa, and Tatum Bethune. Only three defensive players that the Niners have picked. Now, I think they went defense in a lot of their free agency moves, so that's, you know, that affects it as well. But I think the Niners were trying to help the defense change in free agency and with these draft picks. But I think the offense, so they wanted to help the defense change this year, excuse me. And then the offensive side, it's more about 2025. Getting guys that can contribute this year, but mostly will contribute in 2025 is the takeaway. I haven't heard Lynch and Shanahan's press conference yet because I wanted to get this show out for everybody. So I'm going to go listen to that. Do you have a favorite pick of anybody? Who did you like? Who do you think could be a late round contributor for the Niners? What are your thoughts on the draft class as a whole? Leave them in the chat and we can get to a few of them here. I know a lot of people seem to like Mustafa. Damon Geppetto says Mustafa is a stud at safety. And Lee Ving points out, like, Justin Simmons is still out there as a safety if the Niners want to add another one. And you might be able to get him for pretty cheap. So I could definitely get on board with that. Benjamin Bear says, did you call this undrafted free agent signing defensive tackle Evan Anderson out of FAU? I didn't see that one. So thank you, Benjamin. You're always all over it in the chat. Let me check the old Niners Nation undrafted free agent tracker. Tanner Mordecai. No, they don't have it up yet either. So you might be the first on that one, Benjamin. Apparently, Kyle Shanahan said something that Cam Latu is not guaranteed to be on the team because he hasn't really practiced, and we like guys that can practice. It's not shocking to hear that. I know that's sort of highlighted by the 49ers beat writers. Like, look, he had a rocky year. He had a rocky preseason. He had a knee injury, and they just immediately put him on IR, like, right away. And remember, Eric Armstead tore his meniscus, had the same knee injury, tore it against the Eagles, and he played on it for the whole rest of the season and played well at points, too. With Cam Latu, they were like, oh, no, you're out. Don't worry about it. Take the season. Like, to me, that tells you a lot about how they feel about him. They were not thinking that he was going to be able to contribute in any way. So they immediately put him on IR. And, yeah, I think his roster spot is very much in doubt this season. I think he's going to have to earn it, which is a shame because he was a third-round pick. But, look, if you're not good, you're not good. We know the 49ers move off you very quickly. David Lombardi said, why are Shanahan's comments about Cam Latu surprising? He dropped several passes during camp last year and missed the season on IR. Of course, the Niners aren't going to name him tight end two by default. This is the NFL. Right. I completely agree. Why? What has he done to earn it would be my question. They've got multiple tight ends on the roster. Like, why? Polkai four touchdown says Latu revenge season. Yeah, maybe for somebody else. So, yeah, I wouldn't say he's automatically tight end two. I think that they're going to have competition. I think there's going to be a competition for tight end two. I think there's going to be a competition behind Ed McCaffrey, behind Christian McCaffrey at running back. I know Elijah Mitchell had it on lock last season, but again, I don't know that his roster spot is totally safe. I like J.P. Mason, but clearly they have some hesitancy about putting him on the field when it comes to pass protection. It's clearly an area he needs to get better on. And, you know, like I said, they drafted Garendo, and they now have the undrafted running back, I think Schrader, his name is. So, yeah, there's a lot. There's competition there. On offense, those are probably the two biggest spots. I wonder if a lot of people are saying Dominic Pooney can start this season for the 49ers, maybe take over at some point in the middle of the season. I'd be all for that. You can improve at the guard spots, I think, and hopefully they did. I would be down for that. I think right now, Colt McKivitz is back at right tackle. I know that's going to make a lot of 49er fans mad, but I think that's what we're looking at, unless they happen to sign an undrafted free agent I don't know about, and that guy balls out. But I think it's Colton McKivitz's job again, sort of unchallenged for the second straight year, which is probably very frustrating for a lot of people. Leaving says a Hunter Henry type might get cut for tight end two. That's true. It's possible. You know, they may scoop somebody up. Yes, I did mention Tariq Owens is going to sign with the Niners as an undrafted free agent if you missed it. Brisby Life watching on Twitch. Shout out to the Twitch fam. Says McKivitz was a lock as soon as they went through the first two rounds without picking a tackle. Yeah, I mean, you might be right. I said it going into the draft. They did not view offensive line with the same urgency that we did. I think that they thought we've locked it up. We know we can get to the Super Bowl with these guys because we just did. And we might be better because we're going to start Feliciano all season next year instead of bringing him in halfway through. So I think in their eyes, they're like, hey, we're okay. And, you know, it's frustrating for us because we saw what happened at the end of the Super Bowl and that hurts. So we wanted to see some sort of, you know, immediate change there. But it doesn't look like we're going to get that, at least to start the season. Like we said, who knows what happens halfway through. Thomas Latrell says, best picks, Pooney, Mustafa, and Garendo. Worst is Pearsall. Don't like receivers that take 5 years to have a decent season in college. I know that was Michelle Majuk's take as well, Thomas. She was kind of hesitant, like, why did it take this guy so long to do anything? There's a lot of people that are super high on Pearsall. A lot of people that really like his athleticism. He ran, 4.41, I think, something like that. He was incredibly athletic, has a great athletic profile. So a lot of people think that maybe the best is yet to come with him. I still go back to that CJ Stroud reaction. If you were watching the Bleacher Report draft coverage, he was like, he almost fell out of his chair when the pick was made. Not that that means everything, but, you know, I do think that sometimes these guys have some eye for talent and he clearly wanted him. And hopefully he was right. I think that in an offense like this, you're going to be able to get open. You're going to be able to put up yards. So hopefully Pearsall can do that. I know a lot of people think he was drafted too high. I have a theory that that's just because he wasn't in a lot of people's mocks. And so it wasn't a name that we saw. And so we automatically think that he was overdrafted, but that might not be the case. So Jason Tillman says the Gators teams that Pearsall he was on were not that great. That's part of it too. You know, I think the Niners are thinking, we got the quarterback that's going to be able to get the ball to these guys at the right time, hit them in stride, let them run, and maximize the athletic talents that they do have. And maybe that's the case. You know, hopefully with all these guys, the best football is yet to come, right? That's what we're all hoping for. You can't always go off production in college. I always go back to George Kittle, had almost no production in college, obviously much, much more in the NFL. You have to project. And sometimes guys have crazy production in college and then they get to the NFL and they don't do anything. It depends on the kind of offense they ran in college, who is the competition, all that stuff. So it all goes into the stew. Sean says Burford was absolutely the issue in the Super Bowl, not McKivitz. I agree with you more there. McKivitz was an issue all year long, but in the Super Bowl, especially at the end, it was Burford is the one that went off script. It wasn't McKivitz. I do think too that part of the pass rush the Chiefs were getting in the Super Bowl had a lot to do with Steve Spagnuolo just cracking the code on the 49ers protection and sort of drawing up plays to make them wrong, no matter what, to break their rules and get somebody free no matter what. So I don't look at it just simply as a failure of the offensive line. I think it was Steve Spagnuolo ate Kyle Shanahan's lunch, basically. And that's what good defensive coordinators do. And he's one of the best all-time big game defensive coordinators. So, you know, the Niners needed to get better, but also the Steve Spagnuolo deserves some credit. Okay, I'm seeing, let's see if I can throw this up on Twitter. Evan Anderson apparently is an undrafted free agent that is going to be joining the 49ers. And apparently he was extremely happy about it. Let's see if I can pull this up on Twitter. And I want to make sure everybody can see it. So he gets the call. He gets the call. He rips off his shirt and does a flip into the pool outside. That is elite. I just want to make sure everybody, if you're watching on the stream, I hope. Flip
into the pool. That's awesome. Look, you know, like this is a huge, momentous day in these people's lives,
and they should be able to celebrate it like that. That's very cool. I like a good flip into the pool. Not going to lie. Apparently, John Lynch said a couple of the guys on the phone call when he called them got very, very emotional. And it is what it is. Says, wow, agility. Yeah, right? You got to like that. But, although I will say I do remember Drake Jackson like doing backflips and all that stuff and being super pumped about that on draft day. And let's just say it hasn't translated. But the guy's 320 pounds. So that's pretty good for a guy that big. I don't know anything else about him. David Lombardi does say, after signing Evan Anderson, the Niners have 18 defensive linemen on their team, by far the most of the Shanahan Lynch era. Interesting. I don't know what that means. Again, we're a long way to go till we get to the regular season when they actually have to cut this down. So maybe they're just going to throw bleep against the wall and see what sticks, basically. Fish and Chip says, don't smack your knee on the side of that pool. Yeah, we don't need any injuries when they celebrate signing with the 49ers as undrafted free agents. Marshall Mallow says Furman tight end Mason Plein is going to the 49ers. Again, I haven't seen that reported anywhere, but I'm sort of got one eye on the show and one eye on Twitter. So I apologize if I missed that. I'm not going to pretend to know a single thing about him. I think that they've been searching for a tight end to back up George Kittle for years. They never really found one. You know, it's weird how year after year they could be searching for the same spot, but it just works out that way sometimes. I don't know what they're going to do. Clearly Cam Latu is in, you know, he's got work to do just to even make the team. We'll see. I was hoping they would go Jaheim Bell. There were a couple guys I wanted today. I wanted Jaheim Bell and I wanted Tanner Bordellini, the offensive lineman who ended up going to the Colts. I feel like the Colts always know offensive linemen, man. Chris Ballard, he knows offensive linemen. Those were the two guys I were hoping found their way to the Niners. Unfortunately, they didn't. I'm seeing, oh God, there's 2025 mock drafts already. Man, I like mock drafts as much as anybody, but ooh, baby. Maybe let's wait, I don't know, a day before we get to that point. What letter grade would you give the 49ers draft? And again, I know, you know, look, it's candy. It's letter grades. Like, no one's going to hold you to it. I would give it a solid B, to be honest with you. I would give it a solid B. I'll throw it up on the screen in case you need to take another look at it. I liked the Pearsall move. I liked wide receiver. You know, obviously we all wanted one of the elite tackles. They didn't do that. And if you want to ding them for that, I get that. You know, John Lynch said, oh, well, we were, you know, we were at a tough spot at 31. It's like, yeah, okay, well, you had a long time to figure out how to move up, John, and he didn't do it. So I don't want to hear that as an excuse, but I like the Pearsall pick. Renardo Green's a guy I didn't know a lot about, but once the pick was made, the more I researched him, the more I got super excited. He shut down some of the draft's biggest wide receivers when he played against them in college, including Pearsall was one of them. Dominic Pooney seems to be a guy that has some versatility. Again, not everybody that you draft has to be an all-pro, right? You don't have to have superstars with every one of these picks. If they can come in and be solid players, you're going to be fine because you're not starting from scratch. You already have a really good roster. Malik Mustafa, Isaac Garendo, Jacob Cowling, Jared Kingston, and Tatum Bethune. I would give it a solid B. I think they address needs. I think they got some traits and some skills that they didn't have on the roster, especially speed particularly. So I give it a solid B. I don't know what that's worth to you, but I don't know how you could be super mad about this draft class. If you are one of those people that's super mad, tell me why. Let's see some of the grades come in. Hines says B. Tucker Dowd says C minus. Benjamin Bear, B minus. A lot of Bs, B pluses. Fish and Chip says B. That's because the previous was a joke. Yeah, last year's draft class is really lacking. When Jake Moody's your most valuable player, and I know that Jair Brown came in and played well, and he absolutely did, but he didn't really play for most of the year. So, yeah, I would say that Jake Moody was the biggest contributor there. Lee Ving says C plus, tough grader. Brad's Adams says C because no tackle. Yeah, I understand. They didn't want to force anything. Jan says we may have four starters, B plus or A minus. So, okay. Javi Vega talked about this and somebody else talked about it too. And I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Levin said like, hey, we need to get four starters out of this draft class. Can't remember if it was Levin or not. That's a lot. Four starters would be an incredible draft class. Let's, if I'm looking at it right now, obviously like Ricky Pearsall is not going to start at wide receiver this year because they have Debo and Ayuk, but I think he could potentially be a starter. I think Renardo Green could potentially be a starter next year because Mooney Ward is on the last year of his deal. Diamador Lenore is on the last year of his deal. Talanoa Hufanga also in the secondary is on the last year of his deal. So there's questions there. I think Renardo Green could end up being a starter. And then it's kind of like roll the dice, right? Can Malik Mustafa end up as one of the starting safeties? It's possible. It's possible. I think that Christian McCaffrey is going to be around for a little while, so he's going to lock down that running back spot. So Isaac Garendo is, I don't think, going to be starting anytime soon, but you never know. And then you got Cowing at wide receiver, Kingston, Bethune. I don't think it's crazy to say they may have gotten two starters out of this draft class, which is not bad by any stretch. Getting two starters out of a draft class is not a bad thing. We've seen the low end of what can happen in the draft class. So, Damon Geppetto says Pooney played tackle. He did. And the Niners did say they think he has the flexibility to play tackle, but they also said they're going to start him on the inside. So we don't know for sure. So we'll see what happens with him. But the plan right now is for him to be a guard. Thomas Latrell says, has Ayuk said anything about not being traded? I haven't seen anything. I don't know what he's going to say. Like, he'll be around. They want to get a deal done. The Niners have said that they're going to have positive or that they've had positive talks with him. He's under contract anyway. So, yeah. Sorry, BA, if you were hoping to go somewhere. But Tucker Dowd says, Pearsall and Renardo Green could have been had later. How do you know, Tucker? That's my question. How do you know? Because you didn't see them in mock drafts, so you're assuming they would have been available later? We don't know. We don't know the draft intelligence and the things that the 49ers are hearing. And yes, maybe Pearsall might have been available five picks later, but you also need somebody that's going to trade down, and you still have to hope if you trade down then that guy's going to be there. And if you like a guy and you're on the clock, why mess around? Just take that guy and guarantee that you get him. So I think people get caught up in this guy could have been here later. I posted after day one, people said that about Brandon Ayuk. Oh, he was overdrafted. Does anybody care now? No. So I don't know. I think that don't go by your mock drafts. We don't know who is going to be available later. And I'm going to give the Niners the benefit of the doubt that they have more information in that particular area than we do. Hines says Steph interviewed Mason Plein back in February. That's very cool. Steph's channel is the 49 Carats YouTube channel. Steph crushes it this time of year, and she did it again this year. She interviews a lot of prospects. She keeps track of the visits and everything. So check out that interview on the 49 Carats YouTube channel. A lot of people saying B's, B plus or possible A minus from Slick 68. I like that. JM18 says, love the Steelers drafting three possibly good offensive linemen. I know Michelle is thrilled about that.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Brisby Life says, it's less about the actual players. It's the strategy and team assessment. They don't consider the line an issue when it is slated to be their downfall, particularly when Trent returns. Retired. I think he meant retired there. It is frustrating that there's not urgency to address the offensive line. That I can understand your frustration with. Because it feels like that's the missing piece, right? Like, oh, you've got your receivers, you've got your quarterback, you've got your running back. The defense was really good in the Super Bowl. It was the off. Like, this is the last piece to work on. And I get why people are frustrated with that. I don't know what Shanahan Lynch said today. I wonder if they were asked about that specifically, like why they didn't have more urgency to address it. But clearly they don't. I mean, their actions speak louder than their words. And we've seen their urgency or lack thereof. So I understand your frustration. I get it. And I'm there with you in a lot of ways. Justin Dema on YouTube says, surprised we didn't draft a tight end with Charlie gone and the Niners attempting to sign that Lions tight end earlier this season. Right. And I'm sure that's why they signed one in free agency. They're going to have to make plans for life after Kittle because that could be coming as soon as 2025. You know, that's very possible. I know Mike Silver has a column out now about this kind of being the last dance. It's very, very possible this is George Kittle's last season with the team. So, yeah, you would like to have something in place, at least a potential lead, because right now it doesn't look like they have anything. Benjamin Bear asks, the starters include kick returner? No, for what I was thinking, but technically, yes, I guess. That does get a Pro Bowl spot, so I guess you could say that's another starter. Thomas Latrell says, does the fact that they took a linebacker so late mean that Dre Greenlaw is ahead of schedule? I don't know. It's a good question. To me, like, I worry with Greenlaw, when is he going to return to play and when is he going to return to performance? I think he'll be able to get on the field, you know, relatively early in the season, but is he going to get back to himself, his explosive, just, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, destroy you kind of linebacker? I don't know. And I don't know that you can bank on that. Achilles is a very, very tough injury. It's very hard to regain explosiveness after an Achilles injury. You really have to be careful in your rehab. You might feel better than you actually are. And then, you know, you could have a setback that could really, really get you in some dangerous territory. I remember Kobe Bryant talking about that when he was coming back from his Achilles injury. It was a big, big concern with him. So, you know, I think we got to take it slow with Dre Greenlaw. For sure. Fish and Chips says Malik needs coaching stats. Well, good. Hopefully he gets that at the 49ers. Sorensen, I know, was a secondary guy for a little while, so he's got some experience there. So hopefully he can help with that. I mean, I think they're all going to need coaching to some extent. Tucker Dowd says Adam Peters being gone showed its face in this draft. I think that Adam Peters took a lot of the guys the 49ers might have been interested in. And a lot of the guys we thought the 49ers were going to be interested in. Let's see. Tucker. I mean, look, Adam Peters was here and the Niners had some pretty unstellar draft classes. So, you know, if you want to give him credit for the good ones, then give him blame for the bad ones when he was here. I think that's fair. You want credit for the good, you got to take the blame for the bad. So we'll find out about Adam Peters. We don't know how good Washington's draft is going to be. A lot of people think it's pretty good. I think they got some good players. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to be good. I love Johnny Newton in the second round for them. Ben Sinnott, the tight end, a lot of people like him. I know Steph Sanchez really liked him. They stole Luke McCaffrey with the last pick in round 3 just to kill the dream. Thanks a lot, Adam Peters, you jerk. So we'll see. Ben Richards says, I'm really looking forward to a slighted Debo for his last season. Hey, look, I hope he's angry. Great. Give me a ticked off Debo for the final go round. Absolutely. I would absolutely sign for that. Haplo Blank says, stats working on a Saturday. Go Mariners. Yes, I do love the Mariners. Look, it's draft time, man. You got to work on a Saturday. Fish and Chip says, link Steph stats. All right, let me see if I can put that. I'll drop that in the chat for everybody because, yeah, Steph is fantastic. And as I said, she does great work. She interviews a lot of prospects, you know, and like not the top end guys, but the guys that the 49ers could get in the later rounds. Oh, I see the interview right there on her page. I will drop it in the chat right now. Steph is fantastic. She was with me for 2 hours yesterday, breaking it all down. I absolutely love her. Steph, interview Mason Pline. Bam. Okay. Just dropped it in the chat for everybody. I appreciate that. Modelo Time 1999 on Twitch says, drafting a blocking tight end kicker in the third is an overdraft. The kicker in the third, I agree. But also, like, Jake Moody drilled a 55-yard field goal in the Super Bowl, which was the longest made kick in Super Bowl history when it was made. And Jake Moody made a kick, oh, it was like 50-plus yarder inside the final 2 minutes to give the 49ers the lead in the Super Bowl. Jake Moody was one of the best rookie kickers of the last decade. And that is not opinion. That is a fact. Go look at it. We had an article before the year came out how hard it was going to be for him to fulfill that draft status. Rookie kickers generally have not been good. Even guys that ended up being really good kickers had sort of down rookie years. Jake Moody didn't. You know, you got to get past the draft pick now. He's on the team. Like, it's over. You've lost the battle. Jason Tillman said, maybe it's because not just any offensive lineman fits what Kyle does. That's true. You know, the Niners talked about how there's not a lot of linemen that do what they do. And so they kind of draft traits and sort of plug and play and see what sticks on the offensive line. Okay. Let's see what happens. I think a lot of teams would say the same thing. Oscar Alfaro says, stats, how do you sign up for all 22 NFL and college? I don't know. I would love to know because I would love to watch it. Not that I'm an expert on watching film, but I do think you learn something from watching the All-22 and seeing the effect that players have on other areas of the field that you can't always tell from the broadcast. So, I don't know, Oscar, but if anybody does know, let me know. Benjamin Bear says, the 49ers signed Southern Miss offensive lineman Brazen Mays. All right. Yay. I mean, look, we've seen the 49ers. Nick Sakel was the guy, right? Nick Sakel, yeah. Late round guy, undrafted guy. And we've been hearing about him, but we've never seen him. So who the hell knows? Fish and Chip said Seifert never placed O'Brien in Moody situations and ring ensued. Well, they had a better offense in 1994. Like they had a Hall of Famer at quarterback, Hall of Famer at wide receiver. They had Ricky Waters, who was taking the league by storm at that point. And it's not Jake Moody's fault that they lost the Super Bowl. Like, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? Man, people are really focused on a kicker. Oscar says NFL Plus has an option. I have NFL Plus. I haven't seen that, so I don't know. Tucker says, stats, what was your favorite pick? It's a good question. My favorite pick. I guess I got to go with Renardo Green. I like guys that can jam, that can press guys at the line of scrimmage. I like guys that can make plays in the ball. It doesn't always have to be interceptions, but just make plays in the ball. I like defense more than offense, I think. You know, the game is so tilted towards offense that sometimes I really admire a good defense. I like that the 49ers have been one of those teams that's had a really good defense for a while. So I guess I'll go Renardo Green. Pearsall's cool, but he wasn't the biggest need. I guess I'll go Green. Although Dominic Pooney's pretty good. The thing I liked about Renardo Green, I don't know if anybody saw his interview that he did with the 49ers. I posted a couple clips on the YouTube channel. He seems like a funny guy. He seems like an incredibly confident guy. Like he even said, I locked down the best receivers in college football last year. I've always bet on myself. Like I like guys with attitude and personality and swagger. Yes, please. We got enough of these guys in the NFL that are all, you know, I just want to help the team and oh, shucks and all that. I got to cover this team day in and day out in addition to rooting for them. Give me some guys with some damn personality, please. So, yeah, I'll go with Green. Who was your favorite pick? Oscar says, Tatum Bethune has the kind of turn and run fluidity to be used in man coverage as well as able to run with tight ends and running backs. Great. Sign me up for that. The Niners have been able to find some guys, some linebackers that can cover, right? Fred Warner is the best cover linebacker in the league. Dre Greenlaw is very, very good in pass coverage, can cover a lot of ground. So they know what they're looking for in that area. Lee Ving says, he might be a dog. Yeah, that's the most common phrase I think I've heard among all draft classes. He might be a dog. He's a dog. He's got that dog in him. Dogs are very popular this time of year, apparently. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I only thought this was going to be a half hour. We ended up going an hour thanks to all your questions and comments. Please rate, review, and follow the Gold Standard Podcast Network. Like and subscribe. If you click the bell, you get notified every time we go live, which is every single weekday for you. We will be here. Appreciate all the questions. Appreciate all the support you guys have given us on the YouTube channel and the podcast downloads during this draft season. We're not going anywhere. We're going to be here for you every single day covering this team. So don't think we're going away now that the draft is over. They're going to start workouts, I believe, in May, in a couple of weeks. So we'll have news from the workouts as well. Plus, the schedule comes out in May. You know that's one of my favorite days of the year. We'll have a full breakdown of that. No reason to go anywhere, everybody. Thank you for the support. Keep it going. We'll be here for you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'm Rob Stats Guerrero.